just a good old boy.
Obama's gonna put you in jail.
Never meaning no harm.
You guys are all gonna go to jail.
Be tall, you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
I'm coming day and night.
Times
a week,
get together,
everybody party and have a good time.
But we tortured some folks.
Hitler had plans.
See through all of your lies, Barack Obama, you wicked, wicked devil!
Don't bitch kick him!
Football pussies.
Go ask you.
Holy shit, man! That's the other building! That's terrorist!
Other building?
That's terrorist, bro! That's fucking terrorist!
Hello, my little trolls, my little sock puppets.
You're tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the terror mats and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Set.
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of Chronicle.SU Hate Radio. I'm Hate Sec. Radio Hate is brought to you proudly by Liebel Droger Incorporated, who brought you such wonderful products as Terror Max, which can now be ingested through the eye using a patented eyedropper. It looks like you're taking Visine, but what you're really doing is heightening awareness and making yourself a better citizen. Watch the sky and keep your eyes on those horizons, because if you fuck up, we got 59 million missiles for you too. Halliburton, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, and Liebel Droger turn to the West with jealous eyes, and to help us gain an even deeper and richer perspective, we turn to the man who oversaw the incredible works of and wonder of Dr. Angstrom H. Troubadour himself, the Internet Chronicle's very own Kilgore. Kilgore, how the fuck are you?
Boy, we are in the pipe tonight.
Crushing
it. I'll tell you that. Well, you know, I was expecting a bucket of AIDS, and we got full bore power bands in this show.
We're giving you the one. Both barrels. Internet Chronicle.
That's right. Fire in on all cylinders. And then some. How you doing?
I'm pretty drunk, actually.
Well, tell me, okay, so you just got drunk with Jacob and...
Yeah, that's all I did. I went to the Jacob and, what was it called? A release party or something? Something party.
Oh, yeah.
Launch party.
You were at Verso Books?
Yes, Verso.
They were the publisher.
Yeah,
they were. You were at the next Nazism in America, according to certain leftist pundits out there. What do you think of that?
So there's a realm of the left who sees this particular leftist publication as Nazis. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, the realm of the left being the tank.
Okay.
That's what they are called.
Well, look, man, I tried to get pretty close to the Jacobin people themselves.
Yeah.
There was only one fucking guy there, and his name was... I don't think his name was Jacob. Actually, I think his name was Jason. And
his name was Jacob.
There was no Jacob there. Like, I met a couple of people, right? But I had already been drinking and smoking. So everybody I met, I thought their name was Jacob.
All this Jacob. And, well, was he a Nazi? Did you look at him and be like, that guy's nuts?
Like I said, there was nobody there from Jacob. And the guy that ran the event, that was the only guy I met. His name was Jason. He doesn't have a Twitter. And he didn't really even want to talk to me. He too was even though I like just bought a magazine from him, like he didn't want to talk to me. Right. So I didn't even really...
He wouldn't talk to you. You were below him. You're below him.
Yes.
That Nazi. He's a Nazi. That is Jacob and
Well, I wanted to unpack that, right? Because,
you know,
I did, like I said, I didn't get to meet those people. I didn't get to meet anybody from Jacobin. But the
right.
One person who would talk to me, there was one guy. Okay, well, I talked to a few people, right? But there was only one guy.
He was a hanger-on. A wannabe Jacobin. A wannabe Verso.
You mean the guy who talked to me?
Whoever. I don't care.
All right, look,
yeah.
I talked to a couple of cool guys, and they were really interested in Chronicle.SU, and they were cool, so I'm going to go to another thing about, like, Russian history on Friday, and these guys are going to be there, and they're cool, right? But I met this other dude, he was sitting all by himself, right? So I'm like, all right, well, nobody's talking to me. That guy's all by himself. So I went and talked to him. You know, I just kind of started, like, talking to the guy. Really personal stuff. Like, why are you sitting all by yourself? You know, are you like me? Like, you don't know anyone here? Or, you know. Well, it turns out that this guy, because I guess I started talking to him about, like, you know, I was drunk, so I just, like, started right in with the politics, you know. And talking about, like, hey, if because he was talking about Comey and, like, the immigration or something. So I said, if our country is, like, so weak that we can't take on immigrants, then, like, you know, what does that say about us? Like, we can't handle immigrants because we're so fucking weak, right? And he said, actually, like, they should stay where they belong. And this, you know, stay out of
it. You know, a lot of refugees. How about refugees? You bring up refugees?
Yeah, I did bring up refugees. I mentioned them specifically. If we can't take on refugees, then, like, how fucking weak are we as a country? Like, we can't even afford, like, an extra... And I started talking to him about Queens, about ICE showing up at a Queens school. Because they did. They showed up at a Queens school.
Yeah, sure. They've been doing some dirty shit. They've been playing dirty now.
They wanted the school to turn in their immigrant kids so that they could get to his parents and deport the whole group, right?
Christ almighty.
And I was telling that to this kid, and I was like, good for Queens for, like, telling that guy to go fuck himself. Like, he might not have even been from ICE for all we know, you know? And the guy was like, yeah, but, I mean, at least they're coming out here and checking, you know, and, like, trying to find them. I'm like, oh, yeah, what? What are you saying?
What?
Turns out.
Trying to find them.
This guy doesn't want the refugees or anybody.
So what is he doing at this leftist party?
I didn't get a chance to ask him because some dude, like, came up and took our chairs away that we were sitting in. So I was just like, fuck this.
All right, so... You know what? This is real weight to the argument that Zizek is a Nazi because he is the one who is.
That's what they're saying.
You know, if you listen to him, if you listen to him carefully, he's not like this guy you're talking to. But if you listen to him and you don't know what you're hearing, you might get this idea that this guy's got that being leftist is about anti-immigration, anti-refugee shit, right? So. Maybe this does lend some weight to this argument I've never believed in, honestly, that Zizek is this fascist who dresses up like a communist, right? A leftist, marches in and says, Sieg Heil, get them out of here, right? So what do you think? You were there, not me.
I mean, that was just one guy. And...
Yeah, that's true. But he's been drawn into this party that... You don't think that kind of a guy either at all, right? Think he would be disgusted. Well, he was okay.
It's
so
like
he was
say,
sitting
right?
alone, right?
Dressed up.
He was sitting alone.
He was alone.
He was sitting alone. So he was not. Do you think he wasn't telling everybody else this shit? Was he?
No, dude. I mean, he wasn't talking to anybody. Obviously. He was just sitting there, like he was near an outlet, because so that his phone would have power.
Do you think he was an alt-right spy who was just really very upfront about what he actually believes? Or something?
That's a good question. I mean...
Did you even think of that at the time? What did you think of... You just probably didn't even calculate any of this like that.
At the moment, I did not. By the time I was standing up and we had been told to get out of our chairs, I mean, that was like almost the same moment that he told me how he really felt about the Queen.
Suddenly, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. He was cool with the ICE. Fucking Gestapo going into schools and rooting out these people that they have decided to just hate all at once, right?
Yeah, surprisingly so. Surprisingly.
And he's cool with it. Not only is he cool with it, but he's like celebrating it.
Maybe. I mean, he's... I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't
Jesus
know
Christ.
Really what was going through his mind. I mean, he seemed really happy.
But what is he doing at this party?
I didn't get a chance to ask him, dude.
At this party?
What
was this book specifically about? Go into that. We have left our poor listeners totally in the dark as to what's happening at this party.
For the listeners, we're talking about a party that I went, that I attended, that was to celebrate the launch of the 25th issue of Jacobin magazine.
Yes, and there's this anti-immigration loner in the corner.
Yeah, and like I met these other dudes who were. I don't know. They seemed like they were really interested in me. They were nice to me.
I got the impression from them that, like, they were outsiders just like I was, so we kind of naturally started talking.
Yeah.
And they seemed a little bit more like what I expected to walk into. Like, we were talking about Latin America and their shift to the right, which is, as I'm looking at Jacobin, this whole issue is about Uruguay.
I'm very interested. I'm very interested in what these guys had to say about, especially Venezuela.
Because, well, look, I told them everything that you told me during the last podcast, which was that they're celebrating this shift to the right, or what you might consider like a neoliberal shift towards privatization and
Pepsi. I saw this YouTube video of this Brazilian businessman who got up on, and this was a major ad campaign, and this was this Brazilian businessman. He said socialism. He said it in no uncertain terms. He said socialism is ruining my country. And this is some guy in a, well, sure it is. You're a businessman. Look at you. That's what socialism's supposed to do.
Yeah, it's supposed to fuck with your business and shit.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Yes.
And so I brought that up to these guys, and they said that they had met a couple, like, because they were hoping that at this event that they would hear from native Venezuelans who have lived there their whole lives, and they were interested in hearing what they had to say.
Yeah.
And the guy mentioned that he had only ever met somebody who was from Venezuela, like, once, and it was here recently. And as he got to talking to him, he too was, he would have been one of the 25 million in the uprising. But as it turns out, this guy himself was not really from Venezuela. He just had been living there for a few years, right? So he was still kind of an outsider too. And so they were
lamenting. Was he at least Latin American? Was he a Spanish speaker?
They didn't go into it, but they figured out, they told me that they figured out that he was not really part of Venezuela, but he had already adopted this. He had picked a side, right?
And it was I kind of think that I even uttered these same things last night that I don't know enough. I'm not Venezuelan, right? But hold on. I want to pull back from that for a second, because think about this. If you just asked an average American, what do you think of Trump? What do you think of liberalism and the right? What are they going to say? They're going to say USA, USA, and, you know, they're not going to be socialists. Should we say it's okay if they're not socialists for overthrowing Maduro or what the, you know, that's what they want to do, right?
Right, that's what I told these guys. I said, it's really easy for us to say, look how their indignation and criticisms are being used against them for this neoliberal agenda. But then people are probably looking at us here in Trump Nation and saying, ha ha, fucking idiots. Look how their indignation and outrage is being used against them to permit somebody like Trump in power. And they thought that was funny.
They thought, yeah, that's hilarious. Nazism.
I mean, because we were talking about it at arm's length, so they were kind of like you and me in the way that they could.
Well, it's gallows humor, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, nobody laughs at that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Or.
They laughed at the insight, you know. And then when they found out that I was from Internet Chronicle, this guy went and got his buddy, who is some kind of scholar of Russian revolutionary history, and then he's like, you know, this is James, he runs Chronicle.su, and the guy was like, what? And I told him, like, what the .su domain extension that is from the former Soviet Union, and that blew his mind, and then he liked the joke, you know?
We were on Fox News for that shit. We were on all the fucking wires. Our name went out to every fucking outlet out there, because we were a Soviet Union domain. I mean, just because of that. We were the one of the few legitimate, like the handful of legitimate Soviet Union domain names out there that they claimed were legitimate in the news. So, like, anyone ever wants to call us fake news, they can fuck off.
I mean, that is to say that we're
what
one of
they
the,
call us?
In the Associated Press, we were referred to as a legitimate satire site.
Right. We're real fake news.
Because we're one of the handful of Soviet Union domains that seems to be...
Well, enough about us. Let's hear about those Nazis. You're about these nuts.
I only met the one guy, man. Like I said, I couldn't find anybody from Jacobin, and most of their writers are not based out of New York, so they weren't at this thing.
But people who gather at this release party, it's got to be just the real foot soldiers, right? None of the commanders.
Everybody seemed to know each other. Like, everybody had a circle to talk to.
So you did really feel like an outsider because everyone there already had a social circle.
Yeah, except for me and the few people that I talked to.
That one guy who really was an outright Nazi who was just saying nationalism is the way. Get rid of anyone who's illegal.
Yeah. I mean, there was that guy, you know, and he seemed like an outsider, and he seemed like he was not even interested in hearing
right.
or meeting anyone. He was all by himself and making no effort.
Was he filming? Was he taking notes? Was he just, like, sick?
He could have been taking notes. I mean, he found out about the event through Facebook. He said he likes to read. I asked him what he reads. He said, I actually don't read that much. And then,
oh, so that's evasive. Because, you know, that's bullshit. You probably should have said Breitbart if he was honest.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm stupid because I noticed that he was the only black guy at this whole thing, right?
Hold on. Really?
Yeah.
Wait, no, you just really put on the brakes here because you know how much of a big deal race is to this tanky ultra left. And not race so much. You know, you always hear, well, you know, okay, so I'll give it to them. They talk both about the speech and the economic situation and their police situation. And they talk about it more fiercely and more often than anybody else. But of all the things they talk about, it's like Paula Deen moments where people will make a slur, but it's never a big celebrity. You know who it is? It's Jacobin. Every damn time. It's one of them. It's Zizek. It's these kind of people. And it's not systemic racism. It's just a microaggression, a political correctness slip up. You know, it's shit like that. It has nothing to do with the systemic police oppression, economic oppression. And when I say systemic, it's actually more like anti-systemic. People who are fed up with the system, but within the system, the local cops, the real estate people who get... I was reading a Thompson story about this, and he was using the word Negro the whole time, yet he was... And this is old, you know, we look back and that's, we can say he was a man of his time, but it's racist. Let's admit it. That was a racist term of the time that we should be passed. But he was talking about this post-civil rights era where the enemy was this thing called the free market and the value of houses. It fought integration by lowering prices of houses near black folks, okay? And that's why the neighborhoods are still divided. That's where segregation still exists, not in the government, in the fucking corporate sector that the government fails to regulate, right? And it regulates the cops, not enough. It regulates everything, not enough, right? But I'm going on a wild tangent here, but I'm trying to put some framework behind who is Jacobin? How do they relate to the tankies? And now I'm talking about Hunter Thompson because I've been reading this Shark Hunt, which is a book about Nixon. And so there's a lot of differences between Nixon and what's happening with Trump. Yeah, let's get the big picture. Trump and Nixon. Trump, or just Trump. You were at the Trump talk, right? You were at the Trump protest. Tell us about that.
Before we go into that, there are some other similarities.
No, finish up with every, say anything.
Because you want to talk about Nixon in that era. There was this thing, there was this slur, and I only just figured this out while we were talking. You would call someone a pinko back in the day. What is a pinko?
Sure. Tommy.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got this issue of Jacobin in my hand. The design is great, man. It's the kind of design that like every design graduate wants to put together and, you know, reshape the format of news in a magazine. And that's what they've done here with this cover. And on the cover, okay, so when I first started talking to those two cool guys that liked Internet Chronicle and me, and they liked the concept, and we had a good conversation, those guys were telling me about the Pink Tide. And that...
Oh, that's what that's what the book was about.
Yes.
Right?
I was late to the thing. I was about an hour late, so I missed the whole presentation at the front of the thing from the guy who then wouldn't talk to me when I got there. I missed their presentation. Okay, but these guys were telling me about Pink Tide, and that even though these right-wing, there's been this shift to the right in Latin America, that there are pieces of Pink Tide that made an impression on the population and will live on and strengthen. And I said, sure, yeah, you see that in the United States too. Like, you know, the whole time we had Obama in office, it was like the weakest our anti-war movement has ever been, until now that we have Trump, suddenly the anti-war movement is taking hold. And I'm looking at the cover of Jacobin, and they agree.
I thought the Pink Tide rolled out with FDR, though. I thought after that it was just,
well, maybe
we've
really
had worse and worse.
But
that's what I thought.
I mean,
but I thought that was years ago. What is this? What era is the Pink Tide, and when did it roll in?
Well,
is it rolling in now? What is happening?
The cover
Pink Tide.
You look at the cover, and it starts. It shows all these major Latin American countries: Ecuador,
okay,
Canada,
well, it's Latin
Brazil,
American,
Bolivia, Venezuela, and so on.
Right? Okay.
And it's these squiggly lines, and throughout every country, they've got this clock, right? It's like a clock face, like on a
and that's,
and it shows.
And at 12 o'clock, it's full communism, right? But right now we're at like one.
It seems to be. Oh, I'm sorry. They're not clocks. They're just pie charts to say who's in power, and then who is out of power. And then.
And it's like left and right. Jesus,
yes.
Come on, really?
So left out of power is the dotted line.
So Pink Tide refers to South America. I might have been confused. I thought it referred to the U.S.
Well, maybe it did, but this is from this is 20 years between 1990 and 2010 and forward after.
And there's been a time. Well, remember when that what's his face gave the hammer and sickle Jesus to the Pope? Do you remember that?
No, that's pretty out there.
He's one of the greatest communist leaders in the world today. The Bolivian president Evo Morales. Right?
Yeah.
I'm looking him up right now. And he's he may be the first indigenous. He's like an Obama of the South America, you know? You ever saw this picture? You saw this picture years
so
ago.
I'm gonna guess on this cover that he was in power sometime between 2005 and like 2015.
Yeah, that may have been his last year, I'm not sure.
Yeah, because this cover, like I said, the dotted squiggly line is the left out of power. And then the solid line
he was gone.
Is Pink Tide in power.
Got the graph. So you know that maybe the Pink... No, he's still president.
That's what I'm saying. In Bolivia, his bold line goes all the way to the edge of the page, indicating that Pink Tide is still in power there.
Listen, I said he's like the Obama, but at least he doesn't run a country that has this, you know, sprawling military empire.
I just find it interesting that, like, this was their choice of the cover, right? Is because this is only, this whole magazine, at least this issue, is just about Pink Tide either having control or not having control, and a brief look back in the last 20 years of how they lost it or gained it.
Now, hold on. Hasn't Anonymous been very active in South America lately? Why is the Pink Tide rolling out?
Well, I mean...
Or is it still rolling in? What's the story with the Pink Tide? It's rolling in, right? Or it's rolling out?
I don't...
Different places, different...
Well, it's low tide in Brazil, for example, where Dilma Rousseff was ousted.
What's happening? Okay, so there's low tide there. How about in Venezuela? The tide is changing, maybe? Is it... Still in?
Pink Tide is in power as of 2015, but this shit in Venezuela is very recent, so it's beyond the cover of this magazine when you start to hit 16 and 17. So if you were to just go by the cover of this magazine, you would think that Pink Tide is still in full swing in Venezuela, where really it's being challenged super hard.
Well, that's too bad. But it's not too misleading, is it? I mean,
it's not misleading at all.
Okay, good. But I kind of don't get what the Pink Tide is, really. I mean,
it's just, I guess this...
What's the Pink Tide?
It's like having... I mean, I don't know how similar their binary politics are to ours, but I guess it's the equivalent of having Obama versus...
Is the Pink Tide like a nice domino theory? Is it like domino theory only we're happy with it?
From what the guy told me at the thing is that, I mean, the presentation left him with the impression that Pink Tide is on the way out.
Well, that's the impression I have.
Yeah.
Pretty strongly. But, okay. Well, now we know where the Pink Tide is. You know, is there anything we should know about it other than it's just socialism, leftism? Is there anything kind of different about that? What makes it, the ocean affected by gravity, right? Do you think that socialism is going to just come and go with the moon cycles?
You know, they were saying... Oh, we lost Bill.
All right, you want to take your fucking Terramax? You want to do this right now? All right? You want to be sick, or you want to take your Terramax? That's all we're asking you, because you're sick in the fucking head. And you got to get this pill in your body. Right now, see? You get this Terramax in you. See? And you never felt so alive in your life. What? It feels good, and it's good for you. Take your Terramax today.
Hey, I lost you. We're back.
Their conclusion was that as Pink Tide rolls back, and you know, the left is not in power anymore, that these vestiges or the impression that it left on people will be enough to contribute to the next organized left that rises as a, you know, I guess as a reaction to the shift to the right, which is taking place now, which goes back to what I was saying about, you know, even in America, you see that with the ebbing of an anti-war.
So it's just the dialect of history taking us on a Nazi-type journey.
Yeah, you go too far to the right, and people want to snap back.
I thought that happened. You know, that's the thing. We're just going to snap back. Are we doomed to snap back and forth forever?
I would guess
that's
we
what
are.
I want to know.
Yeah, because I mean, that's for the last 200 years,
the whole framework of this idea that it's a just a tide. You know, it comes in, it goes out. How does that work, right?
Yeah.
And I don't believe that at all. I believe that's just like saying, let's reel these Nazis out some line and let them hang themselves on it. That's not a really good idea, do you think?
For me, to talk about it just in the way that we're talking about it now, it kind of reminds me of when I lived on the beach and I would see the crabs run down towards the water as it went down, and then like all the crabs run back up the shore.
Are those the left?
The waves. I mean, it's anybody talking about this ebbing and flowing. It's like we're just the crabs saying to each other, "Hey, the water's going down. We can, you know," or like, "Oh shit, here comes the water. It's coming back up. Let's all move back up."
That's a very good point. So basically what we're saying is that since we understand science, we just let them win for a while, and then we'll come back, and we don't even have to try. We just kind of go with the E equals MC squared, and things do their own thing. Gravity just pulls the ocean around, and a lot of people die and are oppressed by the evil Illuminati. And then the people are beat down enough that they push back, and we're just doomed, like some kind of law of nature.
Well,
like,
yeah,
some kind of invisible hand just squeezing us and squeezing.
Like Hunter S. Thompson said, all winds flow according to the great magnet.
Yeah, I guess it is just a magnet.
You know, that's why I take a sort of non-committal and non-participatory stance towards any of this stuff. I mean, that was kind of built into me.
It seems like this whole being tied is some kind of... It's just the tide, man. Tide goes in, tide goes out.
They wouldn't claim it as a loss as quick as the tide goes out as quickly as they would claim it as a victory as the tide comes in.
You know, I'll vote for him. It's a really compelling message. They got 20,000 people already. It's like they could almost take over the small town of Roanoke. They all moved here and started voting.
I was thinking about that as I went out to it, right? Like if somebody asked me, like, you know, because you told me, like,
you want to join the party, man? Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking, like,
that party.
I remember before Obama was elected for his second term, I was on the internet looking for socialists to vote for as an alternative to Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And I only found, like, one guy, and he was just running for some district representative slot in somewhere in California. And I'm like, well, I can't vote for that guy.
Well, that's exactly it. And Democrats are the socialists. And why have a Democrat socialist? You know, if the Republican Party is going to run Nazis, why doesn't the Democrat Party run communists? You don't have to, you know, and it does, honestly. I mean, they're not going to come out and say it because they're politicians, right? But there are some great communists who hold public office, and they're all Democrats, that's for sure. Then you got outright fascists, you got neoconservatives, you got these are broad coalitions of people that don't all think alike. You got, you know, Hillary Clinton, who is, and as Cornel West says, a neoliberal nightmare, and she is, but. Like Obama, who also neoliberal nightmare. Guess what? Obamacare, right? I mean, this is like, it's not helping the poor. It's kind of putting the screws to them, but it's also helping a lot of people just live, just stay alive another year, you know?
Right. You gotta pay $90 a month, but it's not like $6,000 up front.
God, and these people who think, oh, you know, it's a disaster that maybe we help an illegal out, help teach an illegal, you know, a little bit in school. My God, no. I mean,
they don't go for it.
What's the point?
And I just assumed.
What's the inhuman? It's just inhuman. What is this guy? Yeah, why is he at this party?
I know, that's, man. What, see, I that's want. Why I told I'm him that shit. Because I just assumed, you know, that he would be of these politics that I was trying to start up a fierce circle jerk between me and this guy.
Listen, the tankies out there are going to, if we had the lines open, the tankies would call in and they would say, that guy was everybody there. And if you asked everybody that same question, they would all answer the same way, that they don't like immigrants. Did you know that? That is what the tankies would say.
Explain to the folks at home.
Do you think that's true?
Tankies.
I've explained it once already, but they're the Marxist-Leninist, Stalinist-Maoist, English-speaking American left on Twitter.
And what would they say?
Well, I already said it. They would say that it's everybody there is like that. Everybody there is this xenophobic, anti-immigration left, fake left, rather.
That they're just
all Nazis, yes, nationalists.
We'll call these guys tankies and pink tied on hate.
But
radio.
Hold on, let me tell you some more. Let me go on, because out there are some people who, on May Day, let's talk about May Day, and Democratic Socialist Molly Crabapple, who's such a Jacobin fan and Democrat socialist, she couldn't show up for this opening.
How do you know she wasn't there?
Well, you were there. You didn't see her. You didn't say she was there.
I mean, I might have.
Were there thousands of people?
I don't know if I would have recognized her.
Hundreds of people. Well, you really don't have a sharp eye, then, man.
She's got a big forehead and she's a brunette.
Yeah, you see that? Yeah.
I would have recognized.
You weren't even looking? Yeah, sure you would have. Maybe you weren't looking, but. Well, maybe she was there. I don't know. It could be hundreds of people. I wasn't there. Crazy. Anyway, she was at a strike on May Day for retail workers at some electronics place, BNG, I think, right?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter, but I didn't.
Okay. So she's a Democratic Socialist. She's at a strike on May Day, and you were at a strike on May Day, but did you see what kind of strike? What was the strike against? It was a general strike, but
they didn't discuss the
was it a strike?
Terms Who were they? Details of the strike.
It was just any old day. Did you get the impression that these guys were holding signs about their bosses or anything like that?
No.
Were they protesting in business? Any particular business is mentioned at all?
No, just on Twitter, where those dudes were on the sidewalk outside of that one business.
Yeah. Boy, that was seemed like a passing footnote, right?
There was a big pile of pre-made signs.
Yeah. Well, that's how any protest should be. Right. I mean, people do preparation, but that's kind of sad that they would have a lower turnout than they expected.
Yeah, so low that that there was just a big obvious pile of signs.
Sound like they had no message at all and had no business. They wanted to shut down. What business were they? Let's shut down some businesses already.
Yeah, but this was in a public park. So
well, over at BNG, where you should have been. That's where the real story was. They were.
I got off the bus the next morning, and I got off the bus in the middle of the block, so I had to walk directly onto the sidewalk. And then when I tried to walk directly onto the sidewalk, some dude came walking in front of me with a sign around his neck, and he had been marching in a circle with these people, and he said, "Don't break the line. Don't break the line. Go around. We're on strike." And I was like, "What?"
That's how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want you going to the imaginary business in between the circle of people and being a scab to that concept, you know?
I didn't even know I was at a business. I just assumed I was at some historical fucking big building,
They were actually around the building, right?
They were in Midtown Manhattan, right where I got off the bus, man. You know,
they thought you were going to scab.
Yeah,
they thought you were going to work for them, man.
Oh, dude, and I had my, this was the day I was moving, so I had this big fucking suitcase, and I had 70 pounds worth of shit in my book bag I was hauling around, and they wouldn't, like, let me off the bus onto their sidewalk. I had to, like, squeeze between a parking meter and a car or something.
Yo, have you seen Evo Morales' regalia, his official uniform, where he's got all these awards and shit? Let me send you that. What should I send it to you on Skype?
Just tweet it at me.
I'm tweeting this out for everybody out there.
For all the ladies out there.
Well, yes, they will love this picture of Evo Morales, because he is a handsome man.
He's
like Kim Jong-un with a good haircut, you know?
Yeah, I'm ready for him. There he is. Let's pull up old Evo.
He's got this haircut that rises like the Andes.
Oh, wow, he does. This guy looks like my dad's friend who's addicted to pills and, like, didn't change his haircut.
No, not Evo Morales. No, not him. Not Evo Morales. Nobody's changed
it. Laundromat.
With that sash on? You kidding me?
No, dude. All that gold. And... I'm just looking at his haircut down to his chin.
Sure. Okay. Let me cover it off. Well, that's the thing that you love about socialism, is that this guy is a guy you could be friends with and drink a beer with, and not in the way that you might want to drink a beer with Obama or Clinton or George W. Bush. And I don't think anybody wants to, is that everybody's afraid to drink a beer with Trump, and that's what the difference between just the right, the neocons, and the fascists are, is that it's not the guy you want to drink a beer with, it's the guy you're afraid to drink a beer with.
Right.
That's the neo-fascist turn right there, simply.
But, you can't even be in the same room as Trump when he says one of his things, because, like, what happens next, you know? Oh, he gets to go on to be president, but you get fired just because you were in the room and he said grabbing pussies.
You can't believe how Reddit has these mega threads just over individual tweets.
Oh, we got
Trump's,
a call.
We got a retweet
from the multiverse. They're calling in. Oh, it failed. We'll tell them to call one more time.
Is it Evo Morales?
Hold on. I got to put him in my other. Hey, Skype is fucked up, so you're going to have to call again or something.
Nobody can hear us. We're not live, are we?
Yeah, this person is calling. He's going to call again. Hold on just a second.
We're not live, Bill.
No, we're not live, but I tweeted out that we got a number. Yeah, we're taking calls.
Hold on. I got to retweet that shit. I didn't even see that shit.
And I told him to, or her, to call back.
Exactly.
No, because I was able to answer it on the computer, but like it didn't ring on the phone.
Well, hey, let's hold on. Let's keep on track here.
Yeah.
Forget about this caller. This caller is only going to call us once. It's not worth the time.
All right, they're calling back. Hold on a sec. It only wants to ring on the fucking computer. Man, I drank a lot of beer today, and I'm feeling it now.
You know, old chit-chat here. This guy called in, and everything goes off the rails.
We're just not equipped to handle phone calls. I don't know. Maybe this is a good place to end it, because this shit is catching up to me, and I gotta, like, lay down and go to sleep.
I guess that's a wise. That's some wisdom. It's a wise thing to send this right now.
And we'll never do another.
Actually, you should edit this last 5 minutes off. It's just a waste.
Okay.
Hell of a way to waste it. We shouldn't even worry about what we're saying. In fact, let's make this a normal conversation now.
We could, let's go ahead and finish let's do the sign-off thing.
Oh, we gotta do a sign-off, yeah.
Yeah. This is Internet Chronicle Hate Radio. I'm HateSec. You guys can get fucked. You've been listening to Internet Chronicle's very own Kilgore. Thanks for being on.
Oh, you're welcome.
For those of you still listening to this sign-off, this is the end of the show.
It's been a bucket of AIDS. It's been a bucket of AIDS. Just like, actually, you know what? First, it was really great. It was like getting AIDS, I guess, for the kind of rush you would get if you were a bug chaser.
Yeah.
You knew you were just getting it that night. Imagine if you're a bug chaser and you're getting AIDS. That's like the best. That's fulfilling your whole fantasy, right? Imagine getting off on that like they do. And then, have a good night, you fuckers.
This is, for the listeners out there, this is the equivalent of getting up in that sex swing, totally naked, and just inviting the whole room to run a train on you, but except through your ears, where you hear the show, Hate Radio.
That's two metaphors you can bank on. Right there.
That's a metaphor you can bang on. Get AIDS.
There's a pun. There's a pun. That was a great sign-off, by the way. I gotta give you props. Thank you.